The Six Pillars of Freedom on Freedom 970 KUFO AM Portland.
Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, good morning, Portland, Oregon. Welcome to Investing Simplified, a beautiful sunny day. And in studio, I have with me Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. Carl's out enjoying the nice weather, relaxing, and enjoying this 4th of July weekend.
As you said earlier, we know who's the smart one.
That's right. Yep. That's exactly right. Well, listen, we welcome you to our show. We're going to talk about investing. We're going to talk about taxes. We're going to talk about various other things. One of the things I would like to wake your morning up to, and if you have a chance to get that cup of coffee, if you listen to the Watchdog on Wall Street before us, great show. But take a look at your computer. If you get on your computer and look up usdebtclock.org. That's usdebtclock.org. And it actually shows the national debt clock. And why is that important? Well, on this 4th of July, we're celebrating our freedom. But the one thing I will say to America that we do have to be concerned about, and I've talked about on this show numerous times about the book called Aftershock. And Aftershock is predicting that the next big bubble to pop is going to be the government bubble. And it's the worst bubble of all because it's a federal government who's out of control. As of today, the national debt is $17,582 billion. I'll just say this, since Kevin and I came on the air, it's went up over $1 million. I mean, that's pretty scary. And so you start looking at the U.S. debt clock, and you start wondering, wow, what's going on here? But one of the things I will talk about is federal pension plans. There's about $240 billion of the budget is federal pension plans, because the federal pension plans, they just pay out of the budget. They're not basically funded ideas. And what's going to happen as that thing continues to grow and grow and grow? How are we going to finance those federal pensions when you figure that federal employees are probably paid 50% higher than the average worker in America, has a benefit, retirement benefit, of way higher than the average American's retirement plan? And I think one of the big battles is going to come down the road here is going to be the average worker against the government worker, because the benefits for the government worker are so much higher than the average worker out there in the working place. And from a competitive standpoint, that worker is paying for those benefits they're not getting. So I see that as a potential problem down the road. Well, let's talk about the market, because a lot of things going on in the stock market. We've hit all-time highs, and I know there's a lot of euphoria about all-time highs, and that's great. I'm happy to see the market go up. As I say on here every week, this to me is another milestone you want to look at. If you've been doing stop losses like we've been recommending, this is the time to move your stop loss up. Protect yourself from the next downside, because believe it or not, we are going to have another correction in the market. I can't tell you the day, I can't tell you the minute it's going to happen, but there's going to be something to trigger this thing, and we're going to have another downside, and then we're going to have another recovery period. Here's the thing I would say to you. I've been talking on my show for years about the biggest problem in investing is protecting yourself from a downside market. Going down, like for example, the last time the market went down 37%, which means you got to make 58% to get even. I noticed this week there was an article in Yahoo Finance by Vanguard, and Vanguard was talking about the fact that their funds the last 5 years have averaged 12%. Well, if you take 5 times 12, that's 60% increase. The problem is what the article forgets to tell you is that when the market crashed, you had to make 58% just to get even. So by ignoring the fact that we had this big down market and just talking about from coming from the bottom up to the top, it made it sound like everybody was making 12% on their funds. And the reality, you're not. So today we're going to do something fun that we've never done before. I've got my computer set up here, and if you want to call in and give me the symbol of a fund that you own or a stock, because we can do it with a stock or a fund, I will tell you the recovery time of your individual investment for the first time, which was in 1999 to about 2003 when we had a market decline, and the recovery time for most investments was up till about 2007, 2008. Then guess what happened? We had another correction, and the average one was about 5 years. So if you think you have a fund that can beat that, give me a call. I'll be happy to put it on my screen here, and I'll tell you exactly the recovery time your investment is going to take the next time it hits. Although I personally believe that this next correction we're going to have, and if Aftershock's correct, Aftershock says it's going to be the government bubble because government debt's just too big. And, you know, if you think back, the news people kind of ignore the history. But if you kind of go back into history in the last, you know, the last 10, 15 years, we've heard all along by economists, both liberal and conservative, and people like Harry Dent who don't like either one of those people. But, you know, most economists fully have said that when this country hits $20 trillion in debt, it's over. We're going to have to do something drastically different. Well, we're at $17,582 billion right now. So that $20 trillion is coming very fast. It'll be interesting to see what happens when we hit $20 trillion if we just continue to print more money. And hopefully not. But if you want to call in today, we'll have a little fun with this. And I'll tell you the recovery time on your particular mutual fund or your stock. And some stocks, I'll tell you, did not have much of a recovery time and did not take much of a dip. For example, Nike. You take a look at Nike. Nike stock's done extremely well. It did come back a little bit, go down a little bit, but had great recovery time. But unfortunately, most stocks are that way. I could give you some other ones like Bank America that went down and never has recovered. And I'm not sure they're going to recover in the next 10 years.
I was going to bring up Intel back in 2000. Wasn't it up near 70 or so, I believe? And I think we just got back up over 30 this week or last week or so.
Yeah, a lot of big companies have had the similar problem. They're not alone. I mean, there's been a lot of them. And unfortunately, if you think about a mutual fund, well, all a mutual fund is a whole bunch of individual stocks that you buy in a bushel, and you've got all these stocks, and you own a little bit of each stock, normally no more than 5% of any one stock, but you own a whole bunch of little stocks and, you know, maybe 250 to 300 stocks in your portfolio. That's why when I sit down with people the first time I meet with them and I go over their portfolio and I show them that almost every mutual fund you have will either pyramid the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones. And the reason why is if you're in a large cap, you're probably going to a lot of the big companies, which means you're going to own the Dow. You're going to own those 30 stocks. And you're going to own a lot of the S&P 500 stocks. So you're going to parallel those two indexes pretty darn closely. And most people never think about that. But I would much rather, in a lot of cases, own the fund than the index, because many of the funds have outperformed the indexes. And it used to only be that 3% of the funds outperformed the indexes. But more and more are outperforming them more and more.
Well, and then you've got the, as you say, we're not talking gross returns. You have to look at net returns. And I think with mutual funds, we've got some loads and other things to consider there. I'd be curious to hear your take on, are you satisfied with average return? In other words, what the market does, over the long haul, over 80 years, people say, well, the stock market brings back over an 80-year period, a return of, what is it, 8% a year, 6%? I don't know what it's
at. I've been told that the turn of this century, the S&P was almost 10.
Okay.
And the Dow was about 8.5%, 9%. The problem is, if we go back and look at the Dow since 12/31/99, mm-hmm. The Dow is growing at the rate of 3.59% per year, and the S&P is not performing either. So,
and see, that's kind of the problem is nobody has an 80-year investment window to lock in your money. You've got to, you've got a certain amount of time. If you're younger, you've got a longer time, supposedly. Maybe times have changed. Maybe things are going to be worse these next 15, 20 years. And so it's a tough thing.
Well, you bring up an exact point that we talk about every day with our clients. And one of the things we tell our clients is you can't plan on being in the market 80 years. I mean, I get so sick and tired of hearing these guys on TV talk about the market and they say what the 80-year average was. The fact is the average person is maybe in the market 20, 30 years. That's the reality of it is. And if you don't have a managed portfolio, you don't have something that's going to protect you when the markets are going down, you're going to have a very, very tough time recovering. It's like I said, most funds, it took 5.5 years to recover. Some of them have still not recovered. I can show a Fidelity growth fund. I did some research on it because somebody asked me about they wanted to put money into this fund, and that fund hasn't even recovered from 99. So you sure as heck would not want to be into that fund and have stuck a whole bunch of money in it and had sit there for 14 years and not made any money. That would not be good. And I don't care where you're at in life of investing, but my average client is either retired or close to retirement or planning for retirement in the next 4 to 5 years. And we just don't put them in stuff that can lose money. We have managed portfolios, one of which hasn't had a losing year in 22 years, another one in 18 years. Now, we can't guarantee that they're not going to lose in the future because, past performance doesn't guarantee future results. But the fact is, if you don't have a strategy and you don't have a proven strategy, we're going into some really, really difficult times. And if you don't have something that has a track record of handling things in a very, very difficult time, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have to play catch-up. And playing catch-up is not the way to go. It just isn't the way to go.
Especially at the end of your investing
Especially if you're retired and you're drawing money out. Like, for example, I just told you about the Dow. The S&P over the last 14 years has averaged about 3.95, almost 4%. Okay, the fact is, if you're retired and you're drawing out 4% on your money, and you've been doing that and you retired at the turn of the century, your portfolio, if you're really, really lucky, your portfolio is about worth what it was when you retired. Most people that I've looked at that are drawing out 4%, if they don't have a managed portfolio that's managing for preservation of principal, most of them are down anywhere from 5 to 10%. And if that keeps up, they're going to run out of money.
At 4%, that's what, 12 years? I don't know what the, once you start taking in principal, you're looking
I mean, if you're taking out 4%, if you just took out principal, you didn't make any interest at all, you can go 25 years.
Okay.
But who wants to be looking at the retirement portfolio and seeing it go down every single month? I mean, that's not, that doesn't exactly build some enthusiasm for long life. You want to make sure your portfolio is growing and appreciating value. And I got to tell you, if you don't have a strategy going into what's coming, and every time we hit these all-time highs, we generally have a back down. And right now is when you need to be looking at your portfolio and saying, okay, how do I hedge my bets? How do I hedge? How do I put a stop loss on your stocks? Hedge your bets and give yourself. Don't be greedy, because that's when people lose a lot of money. And you know, I've had some people say to me, hey, well, you know, we stayed in the market. We're up. You know, we're up 22%. And if we had listened to you and we had put it into a conservative portfolio, we might be up 6 or 8%. But we're up 22%. And I'll say, yeah, that's great. I hope you get to keep it. Because the real key to investing is not what you gross; it's what you net. You know, it's you don't want to be grossed out. You want to get netted. You know, that's the key. It's not what you might have made. It's what you actually made and kept in your pocket. And that's one of the toughest things in investing. It's very tough investing your money, watching that stock go up, 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 and say, okay, I'm going to step out and I'm going to take my gains off the table. It's kind of like the guy that goes to Vegas and takes $3,000, and all of a sudden he's up $7,000, and he says, wow, I got here with three, I got seven, I got 10 grand now. Instead of saying, hey, I think I'm going to take half of that, send it home, put it in the bank account, save $5,000, now I'm going to play with the other money that the house is letting me play with. And I'm going to take that other five, and if I lose it, I lose it. At least I went home with a $2,000 gain, got my $3,000 back in $2,000, and I'm playing with the house's money. How many people do that? Not very many. Most people think, oh, man, I made five. Hey, I can make it 10. I can make 20. And you know what happens? You end up losing it. You end up spending the $3,000 you took there. You go and you take another credit line. You take another $2,000 or $3,000, and by the time you go home, you're down $5,000 to $10,000, and saying, "Wow, what happened?" Well, what happened was it's called greed. It's losing your common sense, and that happens. It happens in stock trading. That's why day traders, statistically, about 3% of the people are successful day trading. The other 97 pay money to the other guys who are successful. Because they don't know when to quit. They don't know when to say enough is enough. I'm going to take my gains off the table. I'm going to go home and live to fight another day. And it's a hard thing to do, because your adrenaline gets pumping. You're making money in that stock. You see that stock or that funds went up 20, 30%. You say, holy cow, there's the sky. There's no limit. It's going to go to 40. The problem is it goes to 10. And then what do? Then you say, man, I'm going to hang on because it's coming back. Well, it might. And in fact, like I said, if you want to call today and give us a call, I will be more than happy. You can call us at 503-417-7626, 503-417-7626, or toll-free 800-990-0750. That's 800-990-0750. And I will be more than happy to run your illustration, whatever stock or mutual fund. Call me with the symbol. I'll be happy to run it for you and tell you the recovery time on that, the last two major corrections we had. And it's a pretty safe bet. When I give you the numbers and you take a look and see what it did the first time and the second time, they're pretty darn close. So who's to say that's not going to happen the third time? I think the odds are it is. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with Kevin Stege, the tax investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you want to call in and ask a question, you call at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Wealth management.
Simplify. Let's face it, the rules of retirement have changed. What we were told to do just a few years ago now seems like a pipe dream. Hi, this is Michael Burnett for Chuck Price, owner of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. You know the drill. Be a loyal employee. You'll get a pension. Your home will be worth 10 to 20 times what you paid for it when you retire. So how's that working for you? Call Chuck Price right now. He's located right here in Portland. Featured expert on Investing Simplified on AM 970. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or close to retiring, and he focuses on protection of principal and tax strategies to minimize your taxes. Call right now and get Chuck's retirement report. It's packed full of information on generating more income during retirement, how to leave more to your heirs, and so much more. 503-253-3000. Chuck Price, Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com. Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
This is Investing Simplified here on a Saturday after the 4th of July. I hope everybody had a safe and good remembrance of our country's independence. And I know Carl is out having his own celebration at this time. So we'll be glad to take your legal questions. We just do just that, though. We will just take them. We won't answer them. We'll save them for another day. But do give Chuck or myself a call here, 503-417-7626 or 800-990-0750. We are live in studio and we'll take your tax questions, your investing questions. Today we're going to talk a little bit about education tax incentives and kind of compare the various credits, deductions, things that are available on the education stage for taxpayers, some of the things that the federal government's put in place to give you some incentive to go to college, to save for college, higher education expenses, and we'll kind of talk about some of those. But before we get to that, I thought I would briefly talk about what profession do you think has maybe the toughest record keeping for all tax returns. And before we answer that question, it sounds like we have a caller on the line.
Got a caller on the line. I don't have any information on it, so I'm kind of flying blind here. So let's see here. Caller is Vic, has a question for Chuck. Vic, are you there?
Yes.
Yes.
The mutual fund I'm interested in is the T. Rowe Price Capital Appreciation Fund.
Okay.
Symbol PRWCX. And I'll take the answer off the air. I'm just curious to know how that fund's done and how you'd rate it.
Okay. That's great, Vic. I'll pull that up while Kevin's talking, and then I'll report back on it.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. Good call.
TRWCX, T. Rowe Price Capital Appreciation Fund. Okay. So while you're working on that, be thankful you're not in this profession, because the record keeping just to do your tax return appropriately, you know, you can do it incorrectly and subject all your income to tax, but that would be fairly punitive in this situation. And when you have such a break available to you, you have to jump through these specific hoops to get favorable tax treatment. And the profession is a U.S. citizen airline pilot. Yes, and so you can almost see the trouble on the horizon. The tax code has a foreign earned income exclusion, which when you are a U.S. citizen and you are working out of the country for X number of days, and there's a number of rules associated with it, you get to exclude up to $97,000 plus of your foreign earned income. You don't get to exclude any of your U.S. Income that you earn while you're in the U.S. or while you are in international waters or international airspace. So for these poor folks, they have to keep track of the number of hours that they're over a foreign country and the number of hours that they are over the U.S. or over foreign waters. So as you can see, not just on a daily basis, but an hourly basis, they have to keep some very detailed logs. Hopefully, you know, and this applies to cruise ship folks. It applies to the airline stewardesses and stewards. So it's a be thankful you're not part of that profession if tax record keeping is not your forte. So secondly, we want to talk briefly about something that came in the news here, local news. A Gresham wreath maker didn't follow the rules, and they are out over $250,000 in fines. And you may have seen this on the news, or maybe not. Maybe you don't read the same things that I do. But it comes down to labor law, and Oregon law lets you pay people on a per-piece method of payment, but it has to at least meet minimum wage standards. And in this case, the Bottomley Evergreens and Farms, which is based out of North Carolina but has an Oregon plant in Gresham to make wreaths for Christmas and so on and so forth, they didn't even keep track of the number of hours, so on and so forth, that their workers were working to know if they were making minimum wage. And so they had to pay some back salary and penalties to over 417 people, as little as $34 for one person and over $10,000 for another person. So pretty significant to make sure if you have a small business, if you do have employees, that you, you know, not only do you have to take care of record keeping for tax purposes, but you have to, you know, numerous other laws that you have to make sure you're in compliance with. And one of them is the Fair Labor Standards Act to make sure you are paying your employees appropriately. And so, Chuck, do we have an answer on that, or shall I?
Yeah, no, I do. And Vic, this you have one of the funds that I caution people too about when they come in and see me about, because here's a fund that T. Rowe Price and my cousin T. Rowe, not really, just a joke there, but T. Rowe Price, a good company, but here's a good example. First of all, this fund is a relatively new fund. When I go back to check out the fund history on it back, it goes back to 2011. When the fund came out. It actually came out in 2010. So that means it did not tell you what it did during the bad times, during the bad market. So this is a fund that has no record in a bad market. However, I will mention that if you stuck a large amount of money in it, and let's just say you'd stuck a lot of money in it, and for example, on May 3rd, 2011, we had kind of a high in the market there. That fund went down and never came back till almost April of 2013. So in a relatively stable market going up, this particular fund did have about a 2.5-year period of recovery. So it would have been a great fund if you're dollar cost averaging into it. In other words, if you're putting money into it every month, very good fund. If you're putting lump sum cash into this fund, I'm not excited about it. I would not be excited about having my portfolio sit there for almost 2.5 years without making any money. So lump sum into it, no. Dollar cost averaging into it, yeah, good fund from that standpoint. And there's a big difference, big difference. And when you're retired, you can't afford to make lump sum investments that have, you know, 2.5-3 years of recovery. And like I said, Vic, the main thing on this particular fund is it has no track record at all what it did in 2000 to 2000 and almost 11, because this fund started actually right just before 2011. So doesn't have a track record. And I'm always concerned about funds that don't have a track record. That doesn't mean you can't invest in new funds, but I would dollar cost average into them. I would not put large amounts of money into new funds. That's, you know, that's me.
Very good, Chuck.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you. Well, moving on, we've got, first off, thank you for the call, Vic, and we definitely want others who would have a fund analyzed on the air live as we speak.
And I will tell you this too, Vic. If you want to stop by my office, call my office, arrange a time to stop by. I will give you a free copy of Harry Dent's latest book. So if you want that book, and anybody that calls in and asks us a question, or that wants me to run a stock or a mutual fund, I will be happy to give you a free copy of Harry Dent's latest book.
That's a great offer. Can't refuse that.
And I'll tell you what. It frees a good price, but even more importantly, if you're an investor who's looking at the next 20, 25 years, you got to read Harry's book. You absolutely have got to read it, because it talks to you about demographics. And I'm going to talk, I'm going to steal a little bit of your thunder here, Kevin, but demographics is the key to investing. And if you don't think it is, just think about this. Would it be important to know when people buy the most potato chips they buy in their life? And I've talked about this before on here. According to demographics, it's age 43, because you have two plus teenagers in the house. So it makes sense you'd buy more junk food, you'd spend more on potato chips, hence you're probably spending more on soda pop and those kind of things. So is that important to know? Well, here's what's important to know about that. If the baby boomers are coming through in a very large number, and the next two groups are lower in numbers than the baby boomers, do you think when that next group hits 43, there's going to be more or less 43-year-olds buying chips and soda pop? Yeah, there's going to be less. Does that mean those markets are going to be as big? No, it means they're not going to be. So demographics is really the key to investing. How many people in a particular age are spending their money on particular things? And that's the things you want to look at. You know, one of the reasons I think auto sales have done really well here of late is there's 10,000 people turning age 65. A lot of people, when they retire, one of the things they do before they retire, unless they've got a lot of money, they probably buy that last car they're going to buy. They go on, they buy the car they've always wanted to buy. They're going to retire. They're not going to be driving it a lot. That car's going to not put a lot of miles on it, but they're going to go buy the car. And I mean, I can't tell you how many of my clients have done that. They've went out and they bought that last car they're going to buy, and that's it. Because a lot of people who have money don't buy new cars all the time. Some do if they're traveling for their job or whatever, but most of them don't. Most retired people, Kevin, and you probably see it in your business too, they buy a car, they drive that thing for 12, 15 years. So a lot of them, when they retire, they buy that last nice big car they're going to buy, and that's one of the reasons I think car sales have started to kind of boom up there, because for one thing, they had nowhere to go but up because the market had been so bad. And so you got all these people coming through that are, you know, 10,000 a day turning 65. You know, that's a lot of potential buyers to buy that last car they're going to buy. So demographics is the key to investing in the next 20, 25 years. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the Knowledge Trust, where Kevin and I are just going to talk about a whole lot of things. But if you want to join in the fun, you've got a question, give us a call, 503-417-7626. Toll free, 800-990-0750. And Vic, I hope you got your answer. Thank you very much.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
My name is Monty.
Well, that's what we talk about on this show is money, and hopefully money's your name. If you've got a great stock tip or you've got a great investment tip for us, give us a call because we certainly will listen to you. 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. And again, if you got a mutual fund, you got a stock you want us to give a little report on, I'll be happy to give you my evaluation of that fund. And, you know, when we were off the air, Kevin was asking me about it because on this one that Vic called in about a T. Rowe Price Capital Appreciation Fund, you know, it was a fund that didn't start till almost 2011. And what I told Kevin is a lot of companies, a lot of these mutual fund companies, look, they're not stupid. When we have a bad market, what they do is they come out with some new funds. We got another caller here on line two. We got Larry. Larry, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Have you got a question?
Yes, GFACX.
GFACX, George.
Yeah, it's the Growth Fund of America. That's the GFA.
Okay. Oh, hey,
and I don't know
okay.
what the CX is. Anyway, it's Class C, and I just wondered how it had done.
Okay, well,
I can take it off the air.
Okay, I'll look that up, and I'll report to you. I can tell you one thing, Larry, that C shares normally are way high, very expensive funds because that's what I call the broker's retirement plan. And C shares pay a better payout to the advisor. So, you know, normally they're higher price funds.
Interesting.
But one of the things we're going to talk about is that A lot of people don't realize this, but the mutual fund companies, when you have a market decline, a lot of the mutual fund companies come out with new funds, and they bring these new funds out, and that's the time when you want to be careful when you're buying into a new fund and you're looking at a new fund. Dollar cost average into them is just fine, but putting large amounts of money into a fund at that time that's brand new, I really do not recommend it. It's a really tough time.
Possibly does the fund still have many of the same investing objectives as an old fund? Maybe they just slightly changed it, gave it a different new name, got rid of a past track record because of the hit that it might have taken, and really you've just repackaged something that's already out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing you want to stay away from, I think. I personally think, you know, it's kind of interesting because I have not looked at the C share on this. I run into all the time because a lot of advisors use Growth Fund of America as one of their mainstays in their funds. And so this is the first time I've looked at the C share, and I'm just going to try to pull it up here and give Larry some answers.
While you're bringing that up, do you want me to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So while Chuck's researching that and putting together an answer, I will finish off my segment. Maybe I won't. Is this another phone call we have? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Yes, what is your question?
Well, I have a fund that I'd like to see what the long-term trend is on it as far as is it going to be good in retirement or not. And the symbol is FPAC. FPACX.
FPACX.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the name of that fund?
It's the FPA Crescent Fund. I was thinking about getting into it in retirement.
FPA Crescent Fund. Okay. Well, Chuck, you've got your homework ahead of you.
Well, I can tell you one thing right off the bat here, and Al, I just want to tell you one thing. I don't recommend any funds for retirement. The reason why I don't, unless you're going to watch them yourself, mutual funds by law have to stay 90% invested into the portfolio. So if we have a bad market, that your mutual fund's going to write down with the portfolio. Unless you're watching it and you liquidate it and then re-come back in, unless you're going to personally manage that fund, and I don't know any advisors that actually personally manage funds because of the costs are prohibitive, I don't recommend a fund in retirement for systematically drawing out of it. Okay, I'm going to get back to Larry here. Larry, I just pulled up your fund. That C share actually came out about 3/15/01, and so it missed the first big market that we talk about declining. But I can tell you, you might want a dollar cost average into it. I don't think you want to put lump sum into it. For example, this particular fund, when the market took a hit in 2001, in fact, April 30th, 2001, hit a high of 25.74. It did not come back to that almost 4 years. So 4 year recovery time the first time. The real bad news is the next time we had a market correction, about October 15th of 07, it went down and it never recovered fully until 2013. So you're talking 5 years. If you'd invested a lump sum into that portfolio, you didn't make any money at all. And you paid pretty good fees because the fees are higher than a C share. So hopefully, Larry, I got your answer. Now I'm going to look up the other one here, Kevin.
Okay. Well, sounds good. And while you're doing that, I will briefly talk about some of the education tax incentives. And I bring this up because I frequently get this time of year planning opportunities with my clients. They have somebody who's graduated high school, they're planning for their college next year, and they want to know, hey, how can we best situate ourselves for the coming tax year, the next year, actually the year that we're in, because they know they're going to have some college tuition costs. And my first thought is, and my first recommendation is the best education tax incentive that's out there is the American Opportunity Credit. And this is just a very good credit where the first, if you meet certain parameters as a student, the first $4,000 of these qualified education expenses, of that first $4,000, you get a credit of $2,500 back. So that's a very nice incentive on the first $4,000. Where the planning comes in is this student, the child, is this going to be a dependent of the parent, or are they going to be on their own and filing their own tax return? And in general, if the parent's adjusted gross income is under about $200,000, there's probably a benefit for the parent to claim the child as a dependent. Even if the child is out of state going to school, they can still be considered a dependent if the parent is providing over half the cost of the support. And then the parent can claim that credit, and they typically have more income. They can utilize all of that credit, and it's a good thing. And I'll just finish this point, and we'll go back to you, Chuck, on your next fund here. But if the parent has too much income, maybe they're in the alternative minimum tax, there's usually no benefit to claiming a dependent, or you're outside of the threshold to benefit from these credits. A lot of times there's absolutely no benefit on the parent's return. So if you structure the support so that the child actually is paying their own way, you know, maybe you gift them the money and they're providing over the half the cost of their support and can qualify as a dependent on themselves, or sometimes they can claim the credit themselves, even if they're a dependent of the parent, you can still file a tax return as a student and claim the credit. And so there's a planning opportunity as a family unit not to lose this $2,500 credit, which is really the best one that's out there.
Yeah, and Al, just to answer your questions, I went back and looked at this fund, and this one's got a little longer track record. It actually goes back quite a ways, but I went back to 97 and looked at recovery time. And 98, when it took a dip, it didn't recover till mid-2002. So there again, that's 4 years you'd have your principal sitting there not earning any appreciable money. And then in 2007, again, when it took the hit, it didn't come back till 2012. It was about 4.5 years. So I would not be excited about having that fund in my retirement portfolio if that's a fund you're planning on retiring with. I think I'd have that. Maybe you could have it as part of your portfolio, but I don't think you want to have a fund in your retirement portfolio that has a 4.5 to 5 year recovery time, because if you're drawing money out of your retirement and you've got to wait 4.5 years for that to come back and you're sucking money out at the same time, you're going to move that to 5 to 7 to 8 years. So I would not recommend that fund at all for a retirement withdrawal program, for sure. So, Al, that very good question. But, again, if any of you that called in today, Larry, Al, or Vic, you can call my office at 503-253-3000, and we'll give you a free copy of The Demographic Cliff, How to Survive and Prosper in the Great Deflation of 2014 to 2019 by Harry Dent. And I highly recommend the book to anybody out there who's investing or investing for themselves, or even if you just want to have a little knowledge.
But isn't it a matter of just getting out of the market at the top and timing it right and saving the downturn on all of our investments?
Well, if you had a crystal ball that could do that, that would be really great. But I think would be better, Kevin, is if you had a money management system that. And this is the thing I tell you, we don't invest everybody's money, all your money. I mean, if you've got some high-flying things you want to do and you want to invest in an individual stock, I still think the fastest way to wealth in this country, it used to be real estate. It's not right now, and I don't think it's going to be for the next 7 to 9 years. But I think it's individual stocks. And buying individual stocks, you can make a lot of money. You can also lose a lot of money. But if you don't get greedy and you buy stocks and you look at their return, you look at what they're doing in the marketplace, I still think that's one of the greatest ways to develop wealth. Now, what we do for our clients is we handle their serious money, the money that Al and Vic and Larry were talking about. We handle retirement money, where we take people's money and we make sure that we preserve principal first. Live to fight another day. And what we don't want to have happen is getting a big hit on their principal and having to have 4 to 5 years to recover. And that is the secret, Kevin. You're right. And it's not an easy task, but we do have money managers we work with that have done extremely well in these periods of time, like the periods of time I'm talking about here on this one I just did for Al, where in 2008 to 2002, that portfolio was down, didn't make any money. Well, during that same period of time in our portfolios, our clients made 6 to 8% and never had a decline. So that, you know, that's a little different philosophy, because we went to cash 100% and got out of the market. So you got to have a strategy to do that. And unfortunately, mutual funds, because of buy prospectus, they have to stay invested. It doesn't give you the ability to do that. And that's why I said if somebody out there, if you're investing yourself and you're looking at these funds to do it, then you've got to grab the bull by the horns. You got to be the guy that's looking at this thing and looking at what's going on in the market. And when you see that thing start taking some dips, you need to be able to go to cash yourself, because your advisor is going to be kind of have to churn your account basically to get you in and out of the market. And that's not a good thing. If you can do it with a no-load fund where you don't have to pay fees in and out, that's far better and a much better way to go. Our fund managers that we use, which are not funds, they're managed portfolios, they use all no-load. So there's no cost going in, no cost going out. That makes it not prohibitive to do. But if you're paying fees both ways, that becomes pretty expensive, and nobody can really afford to do that. not make any money. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the last segment of Investing Simplified. If you've got a question, you can give us a call. Don't forget, if you have a fund you want us to look up, we'll do it today, or a stock, 503-417-7626. Toll free, 800-990-0750. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation, or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife.
Well, in honor of the 4th of July weekend, nothing says it better than Ray Charles singing America. I think any American that hears that song has got to say Ray Charles nailed it. Well, hopefully we're going to get some clears here. I hope you can hear me over the song, but you're listening to Investing Simplified. If you got a question and you want me to look up a stock symbol for you or a mutual fund symbol, we still have about 8 minutes to go. You can give us a call at 503-417-7626, toll-free 800-990-0750. And do have a caller here on the line. We have a call from Brian. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and your question?
Okay, I'd like an analyst of a mutual fund called Janus Overseas, JIGRX.
Okay, that's JIGRX.
GRX, yes.
Okay.
Very good. Well, while Chuck works up his magic on this, I will continue with some of the final details on the American Opportunity Tax Credit. One question I frequently get regarding this credit is, what are qualified expenses that constitute the up to $4,000 of tuition and related costs? What fits under that? Obviously, it's going to be your tuition and fees directly related to enrolling in this program. It's also books, supplies, and equipment that are required for your undergraduate degree program. And we are going to get.
We got another call there, David.
Exactly,
David, are you there?
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah,
I got a question about Apple stock. I was fortunate enough to get a whole bunch of it at $35 a share and wrote it clear to the top. It split, and right before it split, I jumped out of it with the majority of the money. I put them back in, and it split. Is that a good thing or a bad thing on the split, and how does that work?
Well, the reason why a lot of companies split is their stock gets up so high, nobody wants to buy it. I mean, if you think about it, the idea to make the stock company grow is more and more people. I think what Apple's proven, and I think Apple's a good long-term stock, and I think it's a good stock you can buy and hang on to and make some money with it. What they've proven is they're innovative in all kinds of markets. And even when Steve Jobs passed and went, they continue to come up with great ideas. And that's a great idea company, and that company is all about that, and I think it's a great stock. So I happen to think that stock's one you can buy long-term and continue to grow with it.
So it's done me well. It's done me very well. All right. Thank you for that.
Yep. But I like your attitude, and that is when you got gains, take some of it off the table.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Good job. Good job, David. Good question. I want to get back to Brian. Brian, you asked me about the Janus Overseas. That is a great stock if you want a dollar cost average into it. That thing is volatile. It's crazy. That thing in 2000 hit a high. It never came back until 2007. So that's a 7 year. If you dumped a lump sum amount of money in that thing when it came out, you didn't get your money back till 07. That's about a 7 year recovery time. The next time it hit a high was in 2007, and it still never recovered from that. So that's not a stock. I hope you didn't stick a whole bunch of money in it. If you did, hopefully you stuck it all in. I can tell you the optimum time to have done that, which, again, I don't know too many people who can pick the time, but it would have been about right in 2009 if you dumped a whole bunch of money. And you'd have a little bit of a gain right now, about a 20% gain of real money. But, boy, I would not be sticking large amounts of money in that fund. Dollar cost averaging, if you dollar cost average from 09 till now, you made money. If you stunk lump sums in, unless you stuck it in right there in about a three-week period, you've not made any real money on it. So I hope that answered your question. This has been a lot of fun. We're going to run out of time now on doing any more of these. But I got to tell you, if you don't have somebody to talk to, give me a call, or certainly call our show on Saturday. I'll be glad to do this anytime and look them up for you. But you got to know what the recovery time is of your investment. If you don't know what the recovery time is, you don't know what to do when that market gets tagged. And I would just say right now, even on mutual funds, I would be very, very cautious about the mutual funds I owned coming into this time, because the market's hit another all-time high. And just like David just called in and talked about his Apple stock, it sounds like David really played it correctly. You know, he didn't get too greedy. He got high. He took his money off the table, came back in, bought it again, going to write it back up. Hopefully he'll do the same thing. Look, there's nothing wrong with taking your gains off the table, putting it over someplace, live to fight another day, and maybe even diversify into another stock. I mean, think about this. If you put some money into a stock, you make some money, you sell out of that stock, you come back in and buy it when it went down, go buy another stock. Now you got two investments, not one. You got two things working for you. Your odds just went up of making money or losing money too. But you know, hey, those are good stocks, and good quality stocks will come back. Their recovery time historically versus the funds are about half the time of the mutual fund.
That's right. Well, this has been a great show. Think of put your stock symbols together for next week, and give Chuck a call and see what he thinks about it. I will continue, not that anybody cares, but I'll continue on with the education tax and
well, you know, Kevin, we all care about taxes because, you know, the two things that matter in life is death and taxes.
That's right.
Because we're all going to have it happen. I mean, we're all going to die. We're all going to have to pay taxes. So the tax man's very, very important. And listen, if you've got a tax question, too, Kevin, how does somebody get a hold of you during the week?
503-666-5569 or BakerColson.com.
And your email?
Is kstege@baker-colson.com.
And you can email me at askchuck@pfgwm.com or just chuck@pfgwm.com. You can call me at 503-253-3000 or toll-free 877-50-PRICE. And check out our website, pfgwm.com. Also check out my other website called askthefinancialdoctor.com. Thank you all very much, and have a great weekend. And I hope you enjoyed the 4th, and be safe out there.